In days gone by, when you were with when you spent time with a person, perhaps a family member or a close friend, when it came time to leave their company, it would be custom for them to give you a blessing before you left. In fact, within many cultures and languages across the world, this whole practice of giving and receiving of blessings is well established. Think of the well-known Irish blessing. I shan't attempt to say it with an Irish accent, but may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Probably a blessing that you have heard many times, and similar such, particularly Irish blessings, they are quite popular at weddings. There's a number of them that are written for those kinds of occasions. And these blessings are not just works of poetry. Their design is to encourage the people that receive this blessing, but also to remind the person who receives that blessing of what it is that they hold fast to. So many of these blessings are mixed in with cultural beliefs that these people hold fast to, and they are reminded of these beliefs in the blessings that they are given. Now, sadly, this tradition and practice has largely ceased. I imagine most of us probably can't really remember the last time that we left somebody's presence, maybe visiting someone's home, and when we left their home, they gave us a blessing. Or even this morning when we came to church, instead of perhaps greeting each other with a blessing, we just said, "Hello, how are you? How was your week?" It's a tradition, a practice that we have lost. Now, I shudder to think what a blessing would be like today that reflected current English culture and beliefs. But as Christians, we don't need to worry about that. Because in the scriptures, we have this vast treasure trove of blessings that we can choose from, blessings that we can give to one another, and blessings that we can receive from each other, blessings that encourage us, blessings that remind us of what we believe in and what we hold fast to, blessings that can give us perspective in the midst of the chaos of life, blessings that keep us looking upwards to God, keep us holding fast and leaning upon him. It'd be a very profitable exercise for us just to go through scripture and write down and record all the blessings that we are given that we can then give to one another. You think of even just how the Apostle Paul starts and finishes his letters. He starts with a blessing. He ends with a blessing. And normally usually there are blessings even dotted throughout the letter. Unfortunately, we seldom make use of these blessings. I was greatly privileged to have a grandfather who always gave me a blessing before I left his home. Now, for many years, I thought that my grandfather was strange, that he was one of these holy types of Christians who was clearly not normal. But as I've grown in my faith, as I read the scriptures more, I realize that my grandfather was by no means abnormal or strange. Rather, I was abnormal. Because my grandfather was simply being biblical, whereas I was not. And so this morning, I want us to consider one of these blessings. We will unpack it together and see how wonderfully rich it is. And I hope it will be an encouragement to you as it reminds you of what we who in Christ have through our relationship with the Lord. And I also hope that by the end of it, you will be convinced that this is how we should be greeting each other on a regular basis. So please turn to Numbers chapter 6, and we're going to read together from verse 22 to 27. And this is, in fact, the very blessing that my grandfather would give to me every single time I was in his company, and it was some of his last words to me before he passed away. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." So far we read. All three quick introductory comments before we get into the blessing itself. Firstly, this is a blessing that the people of Israel would have become intimately familiar with. It was something that was proclaimed on a daily basis, probably every time they had the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, and possibly even when they went and offered up their personal sacrifices at the temple. It's a blessing they would have known well, heard often. Secondly, it's very clear that this is not a human blessing. This is not a blessing I give to you. Rather, this is a divine blessing. It's a blessing that comes from God. Notice at the end of the passage, it speaks about how this is the way through which God will put his name on the people, and this is how God will bless his people. And throughout the blessing, we have that threefold repetition of the Lord's covenant name. The Lord bless, the Lord make his face, the Lord lift up. It's this constant reminder. This is a blessing that is coming from God. It is a divine blessing. And even with that threefold repetition, there is a reflection there of the Trinity. Thirdly, it is an exclusive blessing. This blessing is not for everybody. This blessing is not for all the nations around the world. This is a blessing given by God to God's covenant people alone. Of course, we understand that we have in faith believed in and upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now God's covenant people. We are the people of the Lord, and this blessing applies exclusively to us. This blessing does not apply, it is not given to anybody who is outside of the people of God. So it's a daily blessing, it's a divine blessing, and it's exclusively for the people of God. Well, having said that by way of introduction, let's look together at this blessing. It can be neatly divided into three phrases, and so we'll look at each of these phrases in turn. The first phrase, "The Lord bless you and keep you." We are very familiar with the word bless, perhaps to the point that we actually now use it as a throwaway word. When we as a family moved back to the UK in 2012, one of the things that puzzled and amused us about English people is the frequency with which they use the word bless. They see a cute child. "Oh, bless." You stub your foot against a chair. "Oh, bless." You give them a gift or pay them a compliment. "Oh, bless." To us, it appeared as though the word bless could be used about anything in any given situation. It's just become a throwaway word to us. It's lost its meaning. But to the Jewish people, this is not a word that they would have used loosely. It was not a throwaway word. It carries a rich and deep meaning. Quite literally, the word bless means to kneel before someone in an act of adoration. But it also has a figurative meaning in that it means to be prospered abundantly by another, generally by a greater power or person. And it's in that sense that it is used here. May the Lord abundantly prosper you. And again, even there with that word "you," We must not think in the individualistic sense. Our culture is quite individualistic. We often talk, when we use the word you, we're only talking about one person, me, myself, and I. But ancient Jewish culture was very much community-based, and so you didn't often just refer to a specific individual. And when you say the Lord bless you, you're saying, may the Lord bless you and your family. May the Lord bless your community. May the Lord bless your household. May the Lord bless all that is in your household. May he bless the crops of your land. May he bless the livestock that you keep. May he bless your children. May he bless your spouse. It's all encompassed in that statement. May the Lord abundantly prosper you, your spouse, your children, your health, your business, your life. May it all come under the abundant, prosperous blessing of God. The phrase continues, the Lord bless you and keep you. Now, of course, we all want to be blessed. We all want to be abundantly prospered by God in whatever way that God sees fit. But we also have this fear that, well, maybe something will happen that will steal that blessing away from us. That whatever prosperity God has chosen to bless me with might be taken away from me through the actions of others. For us, the fear of loss, for us, safety and security is of constant concern. We make sure that our front door and our back door have good, strong locks on them. If you have children who are old enough to be entrusted with the responsibility of locking the door as you go out, as a parent, what is the question we always ask them when they get in the car? Did you lock the door? And if we perhaps arrive at our destination and the child who was last out the door confesses to us, oh, I forgot to lock the front door, we have a sort of minor panic attack. And when we make our way home, we are preparing ourselves for the worst. We're preparing to see the front door open and our possessions just strewn down the street, being carried off by somebody else. And it doesn't just apply to our possessions, it applies to our physical lives, to our health. Constantly fearful that maybe our lives will be taken from us. And we spend so much time and energy and money trying to keep ourselves and our lives safe and secure. And yet here in this blessing that God gives to his people, he is promising that he will keep them. It's a beautiful word in the Hebrew, very descriptive word. Imagine one day you arrive home from work. When you pull into your driveway, you are shocked by what you see. You notice that your neighbor has been very busy that day. During the course of that day, he has built a 3-meter wall around the perimeter of his property, and then he's topped it off with row after row of razor wire, and then put CCTV cameras at every possible angle. You're likely to come to one of two conclusions when you see that. Either a new prison has been built next to your house without your knowledge, or your neighbor has something extremely valuable inside his house or her house that they desire to protect. They have built a wall of protection around either the person or the object. And that's exactly what the Hebrew is describing. God building a wall or planting a hedge of protection around his people. We are placed in the middle of that wall. We're placed in the middle of that hedge so that nothing can get in to take us outside of that blessing that God has given us. To me, it's a wonderful reminder of the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, where Jesus tells us that everyone who believes in him, who belongs to him, they reside in the palm of his hand. And they also reside in the palm of the hand of the Father. And so you have, as it were, the two hands of God wrapped around us, and we are in the center. And well, there is no more secure place to be. There is no safer place to be than in God's protection. And so may the Lord abundantly prosper you and all your family, and may he surround you on every side with his wall, with his hedge of protection. Well, the blessing continues into the second phrase. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. What does it mean to have someone make their face to shine upon us? Well, perhaps it's helpful to think of the opposite. Maybe you've heard a person say, oh, when I told my boss the mistake I had made, he had a face like thunder. A person who has a face like thunder, particularly towards us, alerts us that we are not in their favor. They are not happy with us at that present point in time. And if we are not quick to exit, we're likely to come under their wrath. They're likely to respond to us in an angry way. So we best get out the room. Well, to have someone's face shine upon us means that someone looks at us with favor and will respond towards us favorably. To have the Lord make his face to shine upon us means that when we come into God's presence, when he sees us, when he looks upon us, he looks upon us with favor and with love. Now, if we consider who we are and how often during the course of a week we give God cause to be disappointed with us, how many times we fail him, how quick we are to fall into sin, and how slow we are to practice holiness. But when we think how quick we are to do that, it causes us to realize just what an incredible blessing this is. When God looks upon my life, well, he should have a face like thunder, because I constantly give him reason. But because I am his child through Christ, when he looks upon me, his face shines on me. His favor, his goodwill, his goodness, his love, his benevolence, it all shines on me, on us. And that brings us to what I believe is the key to this blessing. The Lord causes face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Why is this the key? Well, let me ask you this simple question. What would happen to this blessing if we removed grace from it? What would happen to it? Well, it would collapse entirely. This blessing is built upon God's grace. No man upon the face of the earth deserves to receive any of these blessings from God. And so this blessing is entirely contingent upon God being gracious. And what makes this promised blessing of God's grace all the more remarkable is that God is not just saying, oh, I'll be gracious to you. It's not an empty promise and an empty blessing of grace. We see God's grace being demonstrated in the moment that he gives this blessing. Consider who is giving this blessing, and to whom is the blessing being given? Moses is instructed, tell Aaron to give this blessing to the people of Israel. So Aaron is given the job of reciting this blessing to the people of Israel. And it's, of course, been given to the people of Israel. Where are Israel at this current moment when this blessing is first given? Well, they're still at the foot of Mount Sinai. They haven't left Sinai yet. What happened at Sinai? We read it earlier. Aaron led the people of Israel in idol worship. And what makes it all the more astounding is not only did Aaron lead the people in idol worship at Mount Sinai, but all they had to do was look up Mount Sinai and they would see the very presence of God resting upon Mount Sinai. And not just that, but in the days or the weeks prior to this, they had heard God himself, Exodus 19 and 20, speak from that thundercloud, the Ten Commandments. Something that we often forget. They heard those Ten Commandments. It's only after the Ten Commandments are given that they plead with Moses. They say, this is too much for us. We can't hear the word of God like this anymore. You go up to the mountain. Everything that God tells you, bring it down to us and we will follow. So they themselves heard God's voice saying, you shall not make for yourself an idol. And yet just after having heard that, and despite seeing God's very presence resting upon Mount Sinai, Aaron makes a golden calf. The people bow down and worship. What should have happened to Aaron and the people of Israel? Well, according to the law that God had just given, they should have all been put to death. Every single one of them. Probably with only Moses and Joshua as the exception. One preacher puts it like this. He said, Aaron should be nothing but a pile of dust blowing around the desert now. See, Aaron and the people of Israel were recipients of God's grace. Again, we read that earlier, how God turned back, God relented from wrath and judgment against them, and he poured out his rich and undeserving grace upon them. And it wouldn't be the last time that he would do that. No, God constantly poured out his grace upon them. I don't know how Aaron felt when he proclaimed this blessing. But I'd like to think that when he got to this part of the blessing, he paused. Because he knew, because he understood that it was only because of God's grace that he was in fact still breathing. Well, this same life-saving, wrath-appeasing grace is, well, it's poured out upon us who believe in Jesus Christ. We think of Paul's words in Romans 1 or Ephesians 2 or Titus 3 where they describe our condition before Christ, turning away from God, rejecting him and replacing him with the idols of our own hearts. We become lovers of evil and sin and therefore enemies of God. Everything we did stirred God to wrath. Even the good that we did was tainted with pride and selfishness and self-righteousness. There was nothing about us, nothing in us that should have caused God to be gracious towards us. We rightly, justly deserved his wrath and his eternal condemnation. We deserved to be reduced back to the dust that we came from. As we read at the start of our service in Ephesians 2, but God, because he is rich in mercy, because he is a God of grace, and well, how we rejoice in that grace. That undeserved grace that has been poured out upon us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't deserve this blessing, but we receive it all because of God's grace. The Lord be gracious to you. How that should resound so deeply with us every time we hear it, because it should be a reminder of just how gracious God is to us. The Lord abundantly prosper you and your family and surround you with his divine protection on every side. The Lord look upon you with favor and goodness and benevolence and pour out the riches of his undeserved grace upon you, a sinner. That brings us to the third and final phrase. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That phrase, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, it sounds very similar to the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And there is some overlap, but there is also a difference. Think of a young boy. He is playing with his favorite toy, an aeroplane. And in all his enthusiasm and his excitement of playing with his favorite toy, he breaks it. And of course, he is devastated. The tears flow. But this little boy has a secret weapon. He has one who is the solution to all his problems. His father. He has seen Dad fix countless broken things around the house. Something is broken, Mom calls, Dad fixes it. What he doesn't know is how well Dad did or did not fix it. But he just sees Dad is the magician in the house. If it's broken, Dad can fix it. So what do I do with my broken airplane? I take it with confidence to my father because he's able to fix it. And so he goes to his father, and perhaps his father is busy working away on his computer. But when his father hears the soft, tearful voice of his son calling him, how does he respond? He responds by lifting up his countenance upon his son. Yes, my boy, come here. Show me, speak to me, tell me what is wrong. And the father responds in gentle kindness. And of course, as the father does this, so his young son is reminded once more of his father's deep love and concern and care for him, that his father is willing to listen to him, is willing to help him. And that then encourages him to think, well, I can continue to come to my father in the future when I have other problems. Imagine how the father would feel, how the young boy would feel if he came to his father and his father didn't even look up from his computer and just said, go away, I'm busy. Son, of course, would be distraught. Well, as the people of God, as God's children, we have this incredible relationship with God, our Father. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter the time of day, no matter how big or how small the issue may be, we have this confidence of being able to go to our God, of being able to call out His name, and He responds immediately by saying, yes, my child. I'm listening to him. Yes, my child, come, bring all of your sorrows, bring all of your burdens, bring all of your troubles, bring everything that is causing you to just bring it all to me. Cast your burdens upon me because I care for you. Think of that verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a wonderful assurance. That every time we go to the throne of grace, our God lifts up his countenance upon us and he sends mercy and he sends grace to help us in our time of need. We will never get the response, go away, I'm busy. He constantly, day after day, lifts up his countenance upon us and says, yes, my child, I'm listening. Bring it to me. And receive my grace and my mercy, my wisdom to help. That brings us then to the final part of the blessing. What will the result be for us when we understand this blessing, when we appreciate it, and when we hold fast to it? Think about what we're being promised here. The Lord abundantly prosper you and your family. Surround you with his divine protection on every side. The Lord look upon you with favor, goodness, and benevolence and pour out the riches of his undeserved grace upon you, a sinner. The Lord stands constantly ready to receive you and to answer you in his fatherly love. What is the result of all of that? Well, the result is peace and to give you peace. It's probably one of the words in Hebrew we're the most familiar with. It's the word shalom. And that is more than just the absence of war or conflict. No, it's deep peace. It's like the peace of Philippians 4 surpasses all understanding. It's the peace of knowing that if God has promised this blessing for me, and this is what he does for me each and every day, then what do I have to fear? And who is it that I should fear? It's the peace of knowing that we are his, that we bear his name, that we are his people, that we are under his blessing. And there is no power on earth or in heaven that can change it. And therefore, we can rest confidently and constantly in him. He is for us. He is for us in every single way possible. He holds us. He holds our lives. He holds our eternities. Therefore, we can have peace. There is no part of our lives that lies outside of this blessing in number 6. God is saying, I've got it all covered. Every aspect of your life, and it falls under this blessing. Therefore, though you live in a troubled world, you can have peace. A peace that surpasses all human understanding, because it is a divine peace that comes from me. And so we have then this wonderful blessing. The Lord abundantly prosper you and your family. The Lord surround you with his divine protection on every side. The Lord look upon you with favor and goodness and benevolence and pour out the riches of his undeserved grace upon you, a sinner. The Lord stands constantly ready to answer you and receive you in his fatherly love and to fill you with his shalom, with his peace that surpasses all understanding. What a blessing. Well, there's two applications that we need to make before we close. And the first is this, and we've already noted it. This is an exclusive blessing. It is only for the people of God. It is only for those who hold fast and trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there may be some of you present here this morning who have not believed in and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, this blessing is not given to you. It would be remiss of me if I failed to tell you of what you will receive instead of this blessing. If you continue to refuse to believe in Christ, if you remain in your sin, you will come to know the opposite of this blessing. Because the day is approaching when God's common grace and God's patience towards you will end. And when that day comes, God's face will be darkened against you in righteous, just judgment and wrath. And he will no longer stay his hand. No, it will be poured out in its full measure. There will be no more protection. There will be no more grace. There will be no more salvation. And your soul and your eternity will be devoid of peace. And there will be eternal restlessness reserved for you. That day is approaching. But the good news is that it hasn't come yet for you. You are here this morning. You are alive and breathing, which means you are still in the time of God's common grace. And so I would urge you, do not take God's grace and do not take God's patience for granted. This blessing is open to you, should you be willing to believe in and upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And if you are willing to turn away from your sin today and take hold of him in faith, then you will, for the first time in your life, receive this blessing today. And wonderfully, you won't just receive it today, but you'll receive it tomorrow and the day after and to the end of eternity. And so I would urge you, trust in Christ today and enter in to this blessing. Secondly, for those of us who have trusted in Christ, who are part of God's people, of course, let us rejoice in this blessing. I would encourage you today, take time to ponder this blessing. Sit down with this passage of Scripture this afternoon and reflect on it. Think about just how rich a blessing it is, how you've known the truth of every aspect of this blessing throughout the week, despite how imperfect we may have been this week. I challenge you, memorize this passage of Scripture. It's not hard to memorize it. And then recite it. Say it every morning as you wake up. I can't think of a better thing to say to myself when I wake up in the morning than to say this blessing. And I cannot think of anything better to say to my wife and to my children in the morning than to give them this blessing and to send them off to school or off to work with this blessing. I cannot think of anything better to say to a fellow believer when I see them during the day than to give them this blessing, to remind them of this is what we who are in Christ have. We are the most blessed of all people. Yes, there are other people who are more earthly blessed than us. Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and Elon Musk. But those blessings are all bound up in this earth, and that's all they will ever be. But you and I have the blessing of God resting upon us every moment of every day, both today and for the end of eternity. We are the most blessed of all. Cannot think of anything better to constantly remind each other with, so that when we're going through life, when we're facing the trials of day-to-day life, as we're constantly reminding ourselves of this, it keeps our perspective in the right place. Instead of being overwhelmed by what's happening around us, we're able to say, this is what I know is true. This is who my God is. This is what I receive from His hand every day. And nothing can happen to me today that could take away this blessing that God has given to me. Let us be those who hold fast to this blessing. Let us be those who encourage each other with this blessing. And let us daily rejoice in it. Amen.